Heavenly Father, I ask that you would take my words and use them as your own to enable us to be your disciples and labourers for your harvest. Amen. I don't know how many of you know, but on Thursday, 22nd of June, this week, it's National Windrush Day. Did you know that? You did. Well done. For the Diocese of Chelmsford, we have a racial justice officer, and she's a Reverend Sharon Quilter. And she's offered a reflection around our Bible readings today. So I've taken some of her ideas and thoughts to bring to us as a word for us to consider and ponder over. Some of us of a certain generation will certainly remember the Windrush generation and those times in the subsequent years. But Windrush was the name of a ship for the younger people among us that brought some people over from the Caribbean, and I think that ship brought people from Jamaica to come and join us in this country to help rebuild the infrastructure after the Second World War. And that ship, the Windrush, arrived on the 22nd of June, 1948. Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the labourers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out the labourers into his harvest." And so that gospel reading had Jesus summon his 12 disciples. He equipped them with all that they needed, and he sent them out to proclaim the good news. And the equipment he gave them to do that was authority, his authority. The disciples had been with Jesus for some time, and they had witnessed how he worked and all the things he had done. Now Jesus was giving the disciples the authority to go and do likewise. They were to go as they were. Nothing more than the clothes on their backs. Not even extra tunic or sandals. Nothing but the hope that in exchange for their labour, they would at least be fed and watered. And Jesus equipped their disciples with something else. The knowledge that what they were embarking upon was not going to be easy. "I am sending you out like sheep in the midst of wolves," he said. He warned that in their journeying, they might end up in places where they would not be welcomed. And if that was to happen, they were to shake the dust off their feet, a sign of condemnation on the unwelcoming house or town. I wonder if the men and women arriving at the port of Tilbury during those early years following the Second World War, if they had considered whether to shake the dust off the unwelcoming places from their feet. The Windrush generation heard the call that labourers were few. The message had gone out to the islands of the Caribbean after the war that their mother country was in desperate need of labourers to help rebuild what was lost, to get the country back on its feet. "Your country needs you," a rallying cry that many answered, particularly those who during the war had fought for that same mother country. Those who had skills they believed would be of enormous benefit and were happy to commit themselves to using those skills in a land they thought of as their second home. They came trust in the system to enable them to further their education and develop new skills. As one news outlet put at the time, they served this country well. In Jamaica, they couldn't find work. Discouraged, but full of hope, they sailed for Britain. Citizens of the British Empire come into the mother country with good intent. Little did they know, like the disciples, they too were to be like sheep in the midst of wolves. They too would be hated, not because of Jesus, but because of the colour of their skin. They couldn't flee the persecution they faced, for there were very few places to which they could flee and be spared from further persecution. There was little in the way of welcome wherever they went. And the word they come to know very well, too well, was no. No, that flat is no longer available. No, that job isn't for you. No, we don't take the likes of you here. The hatred that came with those two small letters reverberates even to this day with the ongoing injustice of the Windrush scandal. The mother country, we, did not welcome her own children who were well equipped with God-given gifts and talents. Gifts and talents needed to generate a plentiful harvest of recovery in our country. They came as they were, called, full of hope, leaving behind family and friends and all they knew to embark on a new and exciting adventure. But they were faced with an unwelcoming, hostile environment from almost every corner of this land. Like those early Christians facing persecution for their faith, the Windrush generation found themselves sacrificial lambs in the midst of ravaging wolves, suffering untold racial prejudice, discrimination, hardship, violence, and hatred from a country seeking their help. Suffering for many was the order of the day, no matter how educated, how talented, amiable, entrepreneurial, or hard-working they were. Many were denied housing, employment, even turned away from churches. They were exploited and abused, treated with suspicion, and even today, many are treated as illegal immigrants due to the callous and shameful actions of those in authority. And this must make the words of Paul from our epistle reading to the Romans a bitter pill to swallow. Paul says, suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. How can that be good news? Hope fades fast when you are having to endure hatred and discrimination, being barred and jeered at, spat at, mocked, called despicable names, and having doors closed in your face. Is this really what Jesus intended his people from the Caribbean to endure? Is this really what St. Paul had in mind when he spoke about hope coming from the endurance and suffering? I don't believe that to be so. And hope continues to spring eternal, despite what the Windrush generation and their descendants have suffered and endured. Hope has kept their spirit alive. And it's been through perseverance and determination, filled with hope, that has made this country richer for the cultural diversity that covers the land. The music, the food, the colours, the artistry, literature, theatre, and so much more now woven into the fabric of our nation. It is hope for a better world that has given many the courage to fight for their rights and the rights of others, to raise awareness of injustices, to speak up while some are desperately trying to keep them silent, to keep hope alive that their labours would not have been in vain. I'm not sure asylum seekers and refugees trying to cross the Channel or Mediterranean are excited about their adventure, probably more daunted and anxious and frightened. But they're probably filled with hope. Hope that the suffering still being endured will cease, and that there will be a promised land of peace and security. The harvest is still plentiful. The labourers are still few. God's kingdom of love, justice and peace has not yet come in all its fullness. And workers and disciples are still needed to usher in its arrival. And it may seem that our cosy corner of Essex, that we are not as troubled by the world and its wants. But we should always be willing to offer a warm welcome to strangers who come to us, as well as being ready and willing to share the good news of the gospel as we know it and have experienced it. Jesus' disciples were asked to go and share as witnesses all that they have seen Jesus do in his 3 years of ministry in Galilee. And as disciples today, we are given authority to do the same, to share our faith stories and our experiences with others. That's all Jesus asks. So let's keep asking the Lord of the harvest to send out labourers, to send out us into his harvest field. But let's ask too for the dust to settle so that no one will have to shake the dust off their feet through a hostile and inhospitable welcome. Amen.